Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
The debrief, 10/22/2024. The senior category of the Pro Football Hall of Fame has some people in Steelers country up in arms. They cut it down to 31 players today. The next step, I guess, is to get to 9 after this. LC Greenwood left out yet again of the 31 players. The only two defensive linemen that made it, Jim Marshall and Harvey Martin.
I just don't get
Harvey
it.
Harvey Martin's claim to fame is that he's a Super Bowl MVP.
Correct. Jim Marshall's claim to fame is that he ran the wrong way.
Yep.
On the Purple People Eaters line, what? Alan Page, Carl Eller.
So,
who was the fourth guy on that Purple People Eaters D line?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I don't
Alan
think
Alan Page, Carl Eller, Jim Marshall.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Forgotten man.
So, of the guys that are finalists here, like, they project that only one will get in. There will be only one senior guy. So
no, wait, that's the projection, or that's what they.
That's typically how it goes.
Yeah, because it was Monga McMichael this past year.
Yes. So I'm looking at the list: Ken Anderson at quarterback, Jim Plunkett, Otis Anderson, Roger Craig, Chuck Foreman, who played for the Vikings in that Super Bowl IX, Sterling Sharp, who was really good before his neck injury. Joe Jacoby from the Hogs, Carl Banks, Clay Matthews Jr. with the Browns, Lester Hayes, Everson Walls with the Giants. Just to name a few.
Of all the names you just gave me, though, you know who I like? And granted, I'm going with the guy that I kind of saw a little bit and played video games. I think Sterling Sharp is probably the best. The guy was on pace to have just preposterous career numbers.
I think Ken Anderson is the best quarterback who's eligible who's not in the Hall of Fame.
Sharp was coming off a three-season run when his career was cut short, where he put up, and this is, remember, in the early 90s,
yep.
Dude. He put up, I'm doing the quick math here, Pony, 314 catches for something like well over, or for 3,000 yards. No, 4,000 yards, I'm sorry. And 42 touchdowns. And that's in 92, 93, and 94. That's not even when, or that's like right when Brett Favre got on the scene there.
Yeah.
Man, that's some crazy, crazy numbers, dude.
The problem for him is that wide receiver stats, there's longevity where guys compiled a lot of great seasons, and he just got lost in the shuffle. He's, I think,
his six-year run is not altogether different than AB's.
That's what I was just going to say. He's got kind of like an AB profile where he doesn't have the great numbers, but you could compare him over a 4 or 5 year period to guys that are in the Hall of Fame like Andre Reed, for example, or Art Monk, and easily make the case that Sterling Sharp is probably better than those guys. But this is the constant battle as a football fan when we rank these guys that I deal with. So you were talking off the air about where you'd rank Derrick Henry among the great running backs, and you brought up Emmitt Smith's name. And Emmitt Smith has one thing working against him, which is he was in a great offense with an amazing offensive line. The thing he is working for him is he was just good for a really long time. For a super long time.
I think the
and that's got to count for something.
Well, I think he's
in
seen
a contact
as a,
violent yes. sport to be that durable. That's why Donnie's such a big Frank Gore guy.
I know, but I think
that's why you're always
London Fletcher.
In London Fletcher. You're pounding the table for both of
but
those.
But I think
dudes.
Smith is seen as more of a function of one of the most dominant O lines you'll ever see. And Henry's a guy who elevated at times less than ideal circumstances for the Titans. Nate, the same guy who made fun of me, Nate did.
Yeah.
A couple minutes ago, has a tattoo take.
Yeah.
He needs to get you. We talked about you getting a tattoo if they trade for Cooper Kupp. KP8 with a teardrop. Teardrop tattoos can symbolize time served. Pony should serve time for some of his takes. Murder. He murdered Kenny's career. Or humiliation. He deserves eternal humiliation from Montana to Rice. Our guy Nate here is coming with some fire today on Twitter.
What do you think of my new one? Wilson to Pickens is the new Warner to Fitzgerald. Have you seen that? That's going around. I think that's got staying power.
You know who it actually
See, here's
is?
Here's why that's
Wilson
not
to Pickens
bad.
Is,
thank you. Thank
Wilson,
you. I'm
no,
onto
no, no,
something
no.
here,
Wilson,
boys.
You know who Wilson to Pickens actually is? You don't even have to change one of the names. It reminds me of Jeff Blake to Carl Pickens.
Oh, I mean.
Jeff Blake just throwing a big old moon ball up off the screen.
Those teams sucked, though.
They would beat the Steelers, though. They'd get Darnay Scott and Carl Pickens out there and torture the Steelers.
Would you take Wilson in his prime over Warner and his?
Yes. I would.
I would, too.
Well, here's the thing,
though. That's why I didn't think that was as bad.
Funny question, though, funny thing you bring up here. If you said his prime, like meaning the best couple of years, you know, 5-year stretch.
Yeah, greatest show on turf.
But if you said at their absolute peak, I take Warner over almost every quarterback who's ever lived.
But I think the point Donnie's making is Russell Wilson's had a better NFL career than Kurt Warner.
He has. But like Kurt Warner is in the top 10 for me. If you say you get this guy for 1 year at the best he ever was, Warner's easy
top
10.
Well, Steve Young's like that too.
No, I understand.
He's another one of those guys.
That brings in some interesting quarterbacks into the equation there. I just think it's a fun little thought exercise. Caleb has photoshopped a teardrop and a KP8 onto you already.
Has he?
Yeah, he's got kind of a weird font for the KP8.
Donnie, thank you for the debrief.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.